you sit and stare at your phone screen. You even scroll a bit for inspiration. As an entrepreneur, you're supposed to post every day, right? You know you need to post something today, but what? What if you had 30 days worth of storytelling prompts to give you inspiration? And best part, it's free. What? These thought-provoking prompts will get your creative juices flowing and help you attract and connect with your audience in a more meaningful way. Designed to be used on any platform, from lighthearted posts about your business journey to reflective ones about the why behind what you do, this story prompt calendar makes it easy for you to attract and nurture your soulmate customer so they can convert to sales no matter what your niche. Get your 30-day content calendar now and say goodbye to that blank page stare. Go to www.thenickdemus.com/30-day-calendar to get yours free. This is the Creative Soulpreneur Podcast. I'm your host, Nick Demus. Let's go. Okay, my friend, welcome back to the Creative Soulpreneur Podcast. I got a great guest for you today. Somebody that I met, I think, 5 years ago, maybe almost six now, which is cuckoo crazy for Cocoa Puffs, where time goes. But before we dive into the episode, I just want to take a moment and say thank you so much for listening. I know that there are, I mean, feels like there's a new podcast every day arriving on the scene. And I really want you to know that I appreciate that you take time out of your day, whether it's in your car, on your walk, or like I do on the treadmill. But I love listening to podcasts on the treadmill. Thank you. And with that, without further ado, welcome, Liz, to the show.
Oh my gosh, Nick, thank you so much for having me. And I just want to second that, because I know that how few and far between those moments are where we get to listen to a podcast. And anytime somebody actually chooses our podcast to hit play on, like, what an honor. So I just wanted to reiterate that. And my name is Liz. I help creative leaders build communities around their brand so that marketing is easy. So I consider myself to be an expert in community-based marketing, but what I truly love is leadership. I am a student of leadership, and I know when people really hone in on those leadership skills, they become better community leaders. So I'm here to talk about all the nerdy business things, Nick.
I have my glasses on today, and I always think, oh, I'm a nerd with my glasses. I love nerdy things, clearly. So consequently, I love you because you're nerdy too.
Yes.
Okay. I want to start with community, because more specifically, online community and what that means. Mm-hmm. Because you'll hear Facebook groups are dead. Facebook groups are in. Facebook groups are dead. I'm not getting any traction. And there's other things like Circle. There's other, you know, containers for these type of groups. But I want to ask you first and foremost, why a group? Why a community? What can that offer somebody out there?
Yeah. So we all know, like, communities, everybody wants a space where they feel seen and heard and where they can relate. But what I really like to lead with is this statistic. And on Instagram, the experts will tell you that only 2% of people are seeing your posts. And if I look at my numbers, that's pretty accurate. And some of these leading, you know, social media experts, they will tell you it's 2%. Well, in a Facebook group, especially when people follow my methodologies, 40 to 60% are seeing what you post. So there's an algorithm there that does us a favor, and people are actually seeing what we're doing. But what I like to really tell people is it's closing the loop, right? Like, Instagram is like a stage where we are just the facilitator of that space, and we're spewing content out. We might engage a little bit, but Facebook groups is all about bringing people together over a common problem or mission, and then asking questions and really holding space for them to come in and answer questions and drive conversations. So it's very different. It's another point in your marketing loop. It's not the thing, but it's another part that just really makes your marketing all encompassing.
Okay. I'm really excited about this conversation because I have a Facebook group, and I'll be very, very honest with you and say that I haven't used it as effectively as I could. I have done all the wrongs. Like, I know I've done the wrongs, and I've done the wrongs. I have been inconsistent. I've changed the name a couple times. I have come in and gone out. I haven't built it really in the best way possible. And I know this. So I'm excited to hear some of these best practices, because even what you just shared there, I was thinking to myself, where is this in my funnel? Like, where is it in terms of my audience growth? You just said it's not necessarily the entry point,
yeah.
Although I guess it could be, but where do you see it within that structure?
Oh, I love nerding out over this stuff. So I like to think of, like, Instagram is like first base, right? Like, someone might find me over there, but like my Facebook group is second base. So if they take that extra effort to go from Instagram or my lead magnet, my freebie, to the Facebook group, then that's second base. So it is a smaller space than the rest of my platforms. But again, that's why that engagement is a little bit higher. And my like secret weapon, what I really go around teaching people, is how to pair your Facebook community with your newsletter, with your freebie, so that those work together. So when you say, like, where is this in my funnel? I would optimize it and pair it with your freebie, so that you're getting a touch point with people who have downloaded your freebie, and you can email them very specifically as your community members. So my community is called the Community Builder. So everyone in that community has their own segment in my email list that I'll email very differently. Hey, Community Builders, here's what's going on in the group this week. And I link to all the threads that are exciting, or, you know, a Facebook Live that I did. And that really drives that engagement from the newsletter to the community and just keeps everybody super engaged.
Oh, that's ninja. That's ninja. That's not something I've ever heard anybody say before. And no wonder you're at 40 to 60% engagement, because that was going to be one of my next questions ultimately. And you kind of answered it in some ways, is that once you get the audience in there, how do you keep them engaged? Clearly, you have this method and this plan, but let's say you didn't yet have an email list. Everyone needs a damn email list. I mean, hello, my students. You all know I harp on this. But let's say for some reason your email's down, it's not working. How do you engage? What kind of conversation do you have in there that builds that rapport?
Yeah, like inside the group, you just ask engaging questions. So if I have a podcast episode, like today's episode, we're going to teach 5 ways on how to tie your shoe. Okay. And that's the podcast episode, because everybody wants to have a community around their podcast, but most people don't know how to actually make that successful. So what I would do is then I would go to the Facebook group, not even mention the podcast, but I would ask the question, what's your favorite way to tie your shoe? Okay. So I'm starting a conversation that's related to my podcast episode. And I'm going to let people chime in, because people want to talk about themselves, but they want it to be very quick and easy to answer. And that's the biggest mistake that people make, especially in groups, but all over social media, is they ask a question that requires way too much thinking or research, right? One time someone asked on Facebook, like, what was your favorite part of your wedding vows? And I'm like, oh, I'd love to answer that, but man, I'd have to go find them and like really think about this. So I'm just going to skip it. But if it's like, yes or no, did you make your own wedding vows? Oh my God, I can answer that in a split second. So there's a little bit of like a methodology to these short, easy to answer questions. I call them conversation starters. And that is what's really going to drive that engagement, is like, this isn't about me and my content. This is asking questions that relate to the content. And then I get to be a community member in the comments.
Oh gosh, that's really good. And that makes sense to me
so
much, because I know in the Facebook group that I have, Be Seen, that when I do a poll, when I do a yes, no, it gets engagement. When I ask a longer question, I might get one person, maybe two that respond. Sometimes it'll just sit completely empty.
Yeah.
How much, I know it's a lot about like engaging with the audience. How much teaching do you do in there? How much give do you, how much do you offer in there as well?
Yeah, well, first, like, let's just normalize what you said in the beginning about like you're not doing the Facebook group like to the best ability. Like, I'm literally a Facebook group person, and I'm like, I go weeks where I don't post or I only post once. Like, let's just normalize that, like, it doesn't have to be perfect.
Oh,
But
thank God you said that. I feel so much better, to be perfectly honest.
yes. A face, it is not a heavy lift. In fact, I tell people all the time, like, I go through phases where I'm maintaining the group and I'm only posting once or twice a week, just conversation starters. That's kind of what's happening in there right now. Like, not a whole lot going on. You'll see like the banner with my event, and then you'll see like kind of just things are just maintaining. And to me, that's like a few minutes a week. But when you're launching a group or you're launching a program, I recommend posting 4 to 5 times a week, but only one of those posts needs to have significant value or teaching. And people go in Facebook groups and they do the opposite. I had one client that was like, we need to be posting 3 to 4 times a day. And I'm like, no, because people come to me all the time and they say, oh, I love Joey's group. One of my, I helped Joey set up his group because I can actually keep up. Like, I can check in once a week and I can see everything that's happened and not feel like I'm missing everything. So, one piece of value a week. For about a year, I did one Facebook Live every week and I taught something or I talked about something. But here's the cooler part that people don't know about Facebook groups. Your content can be evergreen. So I still point back to those same videos. I use these really organized thumbnails, so it looks like a little YouTube channel if you go in there to the media section. And I'm really not creating a lot of new content, but what it does is when someone new to the group joins and they've downloaded my freebie, they're still getting this new person experience, right? And it's like it enhances their experience in downloading the freebie because the group talks about the th same things, and I just point them to a lot of these educational videos.
That's really smart because I know when somebody first comes into a group, and if nobody acknowledges their existence, they're like, why am I here?
Yeah, or they can't find that why am I here post, right? Like,
Yeah.
everyone, I recommend everyone having like a welcome new members post for a while. I even had like DMs set up. Believe it or not, people loved it because I wasn't selling. I was just saying, welcome to the group. I know you're going to add so much value. Here's what you can expect. People loved it. It was not like sleazy or salesy or anything. So I always recommend having an onboarding experience, whether that's a pinned post, that people see first thing when they come in, or you're tagging new members. I have a welcome new member thing that goes off like every 10 new people that join, so they'll get tagged within a week or two of joining. But they either need to be able to post and talk about themselves and introduce themselves, or they need to kind of have that onboarding experience the same way you would have in a course or a membership.
This is all so good, so valuable. Anybody out there that has a Facebook group or a circle group or
Yeah, any platform.
any platform group, whoa and more whoa. How did you figure this out? How did you find, how did you make this happen? Like what is your background that brought you to here to be able to see this in this way?
Oh, I love this question. And I love that you and I just talked about how, like, some things that come naturally to us, we have to really think about, like, ooh, how can I take this out of my brain?
Yeah.
Right? Because I am not that great at Instagram. I'm not that great at, like, all these, like, standalone marketing things, like Instagram reels. I'm like, I'm totally winging it, but I can look at
We're
marketing
all
holistically.
winging it with Instagram reels.
Thank you. I'm like, I can look at my marketing holistically and I can help someone else with their marketing holistically, but like, why did this one little thing come so naturally? So, I do have a superpower in community building and networking and leadership. My core values are all centered around shining the light on other people. And I think having this natural ability, if you think about a room, when someone walks into a room, how do you want them to feel, right? You want to make sure that they feel welcome. You want to make sure that their expectations are managed. I'm such a snob for managing expectations for people that I just took a lot of these human in-person skills that I have, and then I just like utilized what Facebook has to offer. And knowing that I don't have to curate things in a Facebook group, I hardly even have to go in Canva Facebook loves you to use those big, ugly text boxes, right? And I was like, ooh, this is faster.
Well, to be honest, I have found in my group, and I don't know, you can validate this or not within your own, engagement-wise, it's actually the same, if not higher, when I just go in there and type.
Yes, yes. Facebook groups don't actually like a lot of the branded content, which is why you see Facebook groups around summits, terrible. Facebook groups around a podcast, terrible. Because people are over-branding that experience, and people are like, why am I here? This is exactly what I can get on Instagram. This is exactly what you're sending me in my email. It's all about you, 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 right? So you don't have to brand anything. You want people to be able to see themselves and see that neutrality and funny GIFs and funny memes. And so it's less time. That's why I say my system takes less than an hour a week, because you're not creating graphics. And I mean, I'm seeing that trend on Instagram and TikTok too, where people are like, they don't want the curated anymore. This whole, like, I'm a non-aesthetic mom is like a new trend where, like, I don't have pretty countertops and all white spaces, right? Like, people want to see real and they want that authentic connection. And you get to hang out with them. I love going live in my group. It's just, I can talk so much more specifically because it's a group about groups. It's literally a group about Facebook groups. So I can go in there and I talk so specifically and go so deep into that subject. Where sure, I can do that on my Instagram, but my Instagram is like my whole broad following. Some people that have been, we've talked about pivots, some people that have been following me since I was a photographer, and I still care about those people and I still have value for them. But like when you have a group of, whether it's 10 people or 500 people or 1,000 people that have raised their hand because they want the problem that you solve, probably in your freebie if you have one, like that's really cool because you can go super deep on that specific like problem solving.
So with a community,
yeah,
comes leadership. You're the leader of the community. And I know you like to talk about leadership. I know that this is like your jam, your jazz, your vein of gold, shall we say. What makes a good leader in your mind?
So if you want to know how to spot a leader, how to know if you're in a leader's presence.
Oh, that's it. I like that.
Do you feel important? I like people to think about leadership in the reverse, not just like, how can I be a good leader today? But like, what are the moments where I felt really important and who was holding that space? That's how you identify a good leader. So then you can take that type of information and say, ooh, how can I do that for other people? Right? Like that. I love the quote, like leaders create more leaders, not more followers. But that leaders make other people feel important. And there's a million different ways to do that. But I think that's the secret sauce right there. So how can your group or your platform or your space show people what's possible and let them feel important and validated?
When I was the artistic director of the regional theater in Oklahoma City, I had a team, big team. And I always felt that the most important job that I had as the leader of these leaders, because they all had teams, was to empower them to greatness, to empower them to beyond what they even know is possible for them, so that they could then turn to their crew and empower them to be beyond what was even possible in their mind for them. That was sort of my view of leadership, and in that same way of making them feel special. Did I always succeed? No, of course not. But was that the genuine philosophy that I had? Absolutely. And I remember thinking that if I have to come solve a problem, it's my problem. That ultimately, I didn't do my job to empower them to be able to solve the problem.
Yeah.
And so therefore, it was not their issue. It was mine. I didn't create that space for them to be able to do their job effectively.
Yes, so true. I tell people too that when you're measuring, you know, a leader, how afraid are you to make a mistake around that person, right? Because people who struggle with leadership have this fear of mistakes. And I just see these toxic work environments all the time where people are afraid to make a mistake. And man, it's so different when you experience that and then you experience a leader that could care less about mistakes right? Like, sure, bring them on. Like, what did you learn from it? Whatever you learned from that mistake is worth way more than the $3,000 sale.
Yeah.
Like, that's leadership, because people are going to learn so much faster, like you said, when they can solve their own problems, but they get to be more creative and they get to show up fully expressed. And, you know, that people really struggle with that whole perfectionism business.
That, I think, for me was the best benefit.
Yeah.
Was when I allowed them, empowered them, is a better word than allowed, them to do their best work. It was far better than anything I could ever have dreamt up. And therefore, it rose me because of their rising. And then we collectively all rose together in a beautiful way. And that I loved. That was one of my favorite things about that form of leadership.
Yeah, I just, so hosting this event, I've been emailing with a lot of people and their teams, and I have a local speaker who's coming, and I've been corresponding with her team, and her team's tone and correspondence has been so on point that I was able to be like, man, I am getting such better customer service by dealing with her team than I would ever get speaking to an CEO, because the CEO cannot take that time, care, and attention to detail. It was really, really impressive, like to the point where I was like, man, should I hire her? Right? Like, it took my whole wavelength, my whole thought process to not knowing what her business is like behind the scenes. You know, I could make assumptions, whatever, to like, wow, like she's really doing something right, because this whole ability to answer emails within 24 hours is like a lost art, but because I love customer service and managing expectations, like I'm so impressed when a company can do that. Also, like with such care, like
that's one of our rules around here.
Yes.
I'm like 24 hours.
Why is that? Why is that such a thing? It's like no one does it anymore.
Oh,
it's like
I
emails
do.
Don't matter anymore.
Oh, I do. Emails matter a lot.
Yeah, to me, they are the measuring stick of the health of a business, mm-hmm. right? And I'm talking like real emails to real people, like, you know, you and me emailing, not necessarily some of these third, right. fourth, fifth party, you know, pitches.
That's different.
I'll admit there's some I don't answer, okay, people?
there's definitely junk email that I don't answer, you know, cold calls, that kind of thing. I don't necessarily answer within 24 hours, but anything that's customer related, anything that is even vendor related, anything along those lines, 24 hours. And that's part of, you know, our SOPs. It's part of the standard operating procedure in the business.
Yes, 100%, 100%. So yeah, so that to me was a good testament of leadership as well. But yeah, I mean, it's a way of being, the way that we show up for our communities, the way that we continue to learn every day, because, you know, being a great leader isn't just being great. It's that being a forever student. When you think of great leaders, they're like sponges. They want to learn everything around them. And running a community, whether it's online or in person, it's all about that, your way of being, your embodiment of those leadership characteristics.
So speaking of way of being, you were and are a photographer.
Yes.
How did that background really prep you for what you're doing now? Because I love the creative journey and sort of the process of, and because like you said, pivots, we've all pivoted. What did that world, how did that enhance or how did it prep what you do now?
Yeah, so I realized very quickly that I didn't want to be just a photographer. I wanted to help other women become photographers or start their own business. And, you know, through trial and error, doing a little bit of everything, I was like, I do not like teaching someone else how to use their camera. Like, do not make me sit next to you with my Nikon and tell you what buttons to push. That's all on YouTube. But like, what really lit me up was like when these women would realize they could make a living. Wait, like I can stay home with my kids and, you know, make $50,000 to $100,000 a year, like doing this. And like that possibility, like I'm a professional show people what's possible person. That moment was like, ooh, there's something here that I want to lean into. And then I kind of got into this whole realm of business coaching, whatever you want to call it, consulting strategy. But felt like I had to have a specialty. Like, you can't just be a business coach. That felt a little bit generic for me. Like, what do I want to be known for? And that's where the community and leadership kind of came into play.
Well, it's brilliant. It suits you really, really well. Having, you know, seen your journey a bit over the last however many years, it really suits you. And I think that you clearly have some ideas that other people in the industry don't and or haven't seen. And that's really special. So thank you for these gifts today. So, okay. Will you play? If you so dare, will you play our final three questions? These are just whatever comes to mind. First thing that comes to mind.
Yeah.
You willing? You willing?
I'm always willing. Yes.
Okay. Here we go. Question number one. Who would you like to collaborate with that you haven't collaborated with yet?
Ooh. Like big dreamy?
Yeah. Go okay. big.
I would love to be on James Wedmore's podcast and or have him and Jenny on my podcast.
Okay. Very good. I'm episode number 300 on his podcast.
I know, right? I need to go listen to that one. I'm like, it's one of those things where, like, I know it's going to happen eventually. And it's like, rather than focus on the how, just keep knowing that it's going to happen.
So I knew it was going to happen as well. I listened to his podcast. And as I was listening to it for the very first time, I finished listening to it. I got off of the treadmill. And I was like, oh, I'm going to be on that podcast. Like, I just knew there was just something, like you'd say, you know. And, you know, 9 months later, it was very quick and strange. I haven't been invited back again, but I'm going to be, I can tell you.
Yeah. That inner knowing. You probably talk about intuition on here. I'm assuming this is a good space for that.
Yeah.
Just meeting James, there was always this inner knowing of, like, he's meant to be my teacher. I don't buy into, like, everybody's ways of teaching and ways of coaching, but, like, there was an instant, like, I'm meant to learn from him. And then when Jenny came along, I'm like, whatever she's selling, I want.
Yeah, I don't think my audience knows Jenny, but Jenny is James's other half now, I guess we should say, and is a brilliant mind and a wonderful human. And, you know, the thing about James is that the reason that I resonate so much with James is that James doesn't teach you his way, the way. He teaches you your way. He teaches you how to dig into your stuff so that you can have the business that's in alignment with you and your way of being. And that's really important to me, that because I really think that's actually a self-actualization process. Mm-hmm. And I've grown as a human, maybe more so than as a business person with James. I've grown as a human, which for me is more important than any business transaction.
Yeah.
Ultimately.
Yeah. And your business won't grow if you're not focusing on those things. And
truth.
He's such a great example of, like, neutrality of, like, you don't need to believe this, but I'm going to share it. Feel free to try it on or not. Right.
Yeah.
Like, I just love how he just brings it all to the table, but there's never this, like you said, this is the way to do it. Right.
Yeah.
He doesn't care your background. He doesn't care your beliefs. He doesn't care about politics. It's literally just try this on. See what you think.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you're a coach for him.
Yeah. Yep.
Yeah, super cool. Okay, second question, if you so dare, is what is your next great manifestation?
Ooh, definitely this event in April. So I've been manifesting this event for a while, and to see it all come together, you know, I feel like it's already in existence, it's already happening, it's already mine, but just to see what it's going to end up like on the other side, I think I'm really, really excited for that.
Good, so tell everyone what the event is.
Yeah. So it's called Elevate and Inspire. It is in Norfolk, Virginia at the end of April. It's a 2-day event all about community-based marketing so you can meet the right people. So my goal is that people will leave this event and have found 4 new connections that they can collaborate with or be on a podcast with. And we're going to have some great, great speakers and great experts, but it's really going to be all about actual connection.
Okay. So I feel like you're cheating. Because you've already manifested this. This has already happened.
Oh, okay. So we need something
What's
more sexy.
Next?
Okay. Next. I am manifesting a Ford Bronco.
I love it. Now that I like.
A green one.
A green one. How specific. I really love that.
It's on my vision board. I have no idea the how, but yeah, that's on
Why
there.
a green Ford Bronco? What is it about that to you? What does that feel like to you to have that?
Green just feels like me. It's very grounded. It's very on brand. Right now, I have a green Toyota Highlander that I love, but I have always had an obsession with the vintage Broncos, like since I was a child. And now that they have the new remakes out, yeah, I just know it's going to happen. It might not be in 2024, might be 2025, but it's definitely one that I'm working on. I'm not thinking about the how. It's going to happen.
Yeah, and even the timeline, just knowing that it'll happen, you can take the time away off of there and just sit in that knowing state, which is why I was asking you, what do you feel? How do you feel when you visualize yourself in that Bronco? What does it feel like?
It's all about who I have to become, right? Like,
Yeah.
who do I have to become for this to be possible?
Yeah. 'Cause I can see it's possible for you, right? I see you now just like going down the road with that Bronco.
It's not even about like driving it, it's about just having it, right? Like
Yeah.
that level, yes.
My cousin had a Bronco here in Los Angeles. This was, 20 some years ago, and we used to tootle around, all the gay bars with his Bronco. We were like, and we thought we were the shit.
Was it a classic one?
Was
Like
a
the actual?
classic one. It
Oh,
was from
yes.
Montana. It was a
Oh.
classic, like Montana. He even had like the now people would just die and roll their eyes, but he even had like the sheepskin,
Oh my gosh.
seat covers, the whole bit. It was like classic.
Yeah,
Okay.
yeah.
Final question. And this one is a fill in the blank.
Okay. That's it.
I am.
I am learning how to become a millionaire every single day.
Woo! Talk about manifestation.
Yeah, that's straight from Catherine Zinkina, but that's one of my mantras that I've inherited from her. Yeah,
Say it
because
one
she
more
said
time.
that manifestation, babe.
I know that
Oh,
is. Yeah.
say the mantra again.
Yeah.
Every single day, I am learning new things that help me become a millionaire.
Okay.
So there's a
I'm
couple
learning.
different variations of it, right? But like everything I'm doing is helping me become a millionaire. Everything I'm learning is helping me become a millionaire. She has a whole episode on how, like, that's the one mantra that really like changed everything for her. And I just
Yeah.
love that perspective of like sometimes like manifestation and mantras can feel like when you, if I were to be like, I am a millionaire,
Yeah.
that doesn't quite feel the same as like knowing matter of fact, every single thing I'm doing is helping me become that.
Yeah, I love that. It's
But
so
I don't feel like that's
interesting.
like a cop out or owning it any
No,
less.
not
It's
at
just
all.
knowing that it's coming.
It's interesting that you took it to a manifestation place because a lot of people don't. When I ask this question, I get all kinds of things. I get, I am content. I am confident. Just depending on where they're at in the day and what they're processing and thinking about, but maybe because we were talking about the Bronco and that $1 million
It was already
that you're
there.
going to have, that it was already there.
Yeah. And for some reason, and my gratitude journal starts with my daily affirmation, and that one starts with I am. And for some reason, I always want to put that word capable. I am capable of great things. I am capable of great wealth. And I'm trying to actually break that habit because I feel like I've embodied a little bit too much of this like capable versus really like claiming it.
Good. So
So.
that's a good question then. So then when do you know that you're past the I am learning?
I'm learning how to become a millionaire.
Yeah.
I think when it becomes, I am becoming a millionaire. It's already happening for me. Yeah, that's a really good point.
Good stuff.
Yeah, super good. I love it.
The
I love
power of
talking about
language is so
manifestation.
interesting. Really, really is.
Oh, I love it. I mean, language is everything, and not just the words that we say out loud, but like what we say to ourselves. I mean, what did I share this morning about like judging others takes so much energy away from us and takes us so much farther away from where we want to go, but like nobody talks about judging ourselves, and that does the exact same thing.
Yeah.
And I'll never forget when I was in the hot seat with James one time, and he was like, "Let's be a little like kinder to yourself." He just said it so matter of fact, like, and I was like, "Oh man, I was like kind of being mean to myself. I don't even notice it, right?"
oh, I'm far meaner to myself than I would ever be to anybody else. You know, my head, I can beat the shit out of myself in a way that I never would do with another human. It's so fascinating. You really have to like catch yourself in those moments, right? That awareness piece of, oh, wow, I'm beating myself up again. Oh, okay. Hi. It's okay. Yeah. We're okay. Right? It's fascinating. Okay. I'm going to circle the plane because we like went to like, you know, the Caribbean, and then we went up to the North Pole, and now we're back circling the plane in the US. And I'm going to land it with asking you if there's anything that would make this conversation feel whole or complete, or anything that you want to share about the community building groups, about leadership, about manifestation, because clearly we went there too. Anything that would make this feel whole to you?
Mm-mm. It already feels very complete to share this space with you, Nick. And thank you so much for having me. And what brings me the most joy is just to know that, like, hopefully I helped at least one person. And whether that's like our conversation alone being helpful for you and helpful for me to be able to reflect. But, you know, I really do show up every day just thinking about like just that one person who's on the other side manifesting my gifts. And, you know, how can I show up for them? And I love doing this in an audio, you know, way of being. I'm a very auditory person, clear audio, all the things. Like, mm-hmm. I love to speak and solve my problems. I love to digest by listening to other people. And what a gift you are to your audience. Thank you so much for having me and for being on my podcast.
Well, I will say this. I know that you help more than one person because you've already helped me. I took notes during this session. That doesn't always happen. That does not always happen.
You're all set now.
I took notes for my Facebook group, which you're going to come into and you're going to see it, you all. And those of you that are already in it, you're going to be like, I know what he's doing, which is awesome. And I know that you're going to help other people consequently. Where can they find you after they listen to this podcast and they're like, whoa, I need her? Where do they find you?
Yeah, so I'm Elizabeth Henson on all the platforms. That's Henson, like the Muppets, H-E-N-S-O-N. But you can just go to Facebook and search The Community Builder, and you can find my group, and that links right to my freebie. And I want you to do that so that you can see how I set it up. The freebie is all about 25 conversation starters with that magic formula that we talked about that people can swipe and use in their own group. But most importantly, I tell people just come to my group so you can just copy and paste like the things that I'm doing.
I'm in there. I joined. Can't wait to learn more. And I really do appreciate you taking the time today and sharing your nuggets of wisdom and your experience. Really do appreciate you and our friendship. Thank you so much.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Be sure to leave us a review on this episode. And if you're so inspired, DM us your big takeaway on those socials. We'll make sure that they're in the show notes so you can click right on it and go to her Facebook group. I mean, good gravy, the stuff you can learn in there. Thank you all so much. We'll see you on the next episode.